Hello, this is Kathy Cook, Bright Lights Pathfinders, and we're going to be bridging some wisdom tonight. First, I would like to start with a little piece of music that I found in some tapes. Here we go, because this kind of opened the door for me to a window and help healing Orion. Here we go. Listen to the words. Is this a great story? It started back long, 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 long time ago. I'm going to start right here with something that I wrote. It's time. It is time. I time the secret to all knowledge of wisdom stores, the knowing to one and all, the great I am, your mystery keeper, as to your dreams, treasure seeker. Know that I am the secret within as to free up your space. Journey eternal is forever is my thought's place. Seeker, seek my truth of this bright light's pathfinder's way, and I change not, for I'm the holder of all events kept separate. Let not ever your darkness turn inward your heart. Bright light is your pathway, your only life of eternal flame. Light from your beginning, illuminously the great I am and you became, the circles and the cycles in you, I'm always turning. As you unfold me, time after time, onto never-ending events of issues, the great mystery of God spoke in the silent tones of his power songs. Of the cycles I became your thinking, I preoccupy you. I preoccupy you. I preoccupy you. I'm your sooner than later. As you buy your time for after a while, until later on in due time to come home, all in a bright light's path under his way. On Runaway, in Runaway Bay, on Back Bay Court in Charlotte, North Carolina, my bird man, which I'm in love of a songbird a lot of times, we just knew something was up. I looked out at the sweeping willow overlooking the moon. He was asleep. We held hands every night going to sleep. We were like a bridge, rainbows, brightest rainbows. I dreamed as I was just etching him, remembering him, because I knew something was up. And the next, through that night, there was a double wind, a rainbow at the top at the beginning of the night, as I looked out at the moon just setting over the weeping willow's moon that was through our window. And there was a lake, beautiful lake, the Swan's Lake, and a water fountain that spewed out. You could see the stars. In the window across from our bed was a big old rainbow that just came through and out there and then popped back. And then another window, a rainbow was in the morning, so it was a double rainbow. Ronnie, the guy that I was with, he had an odd dream that morning too. He woke up with Puppy Whoopi that he gave me for Christmas in 97, coming out of a bubblegum machine. That's how he got her. So we're going to connect the dots here because this is really amazing. But how was everybody's Mother's Day? I want to just thank you all for such a wonderful blessing to Mother Nature. Rain Tree God, Yard of the Month on Mother's Day, which I humble and bow to that because I owe it to all the people that bless this place with such reverence and grace. Because I act out stories. That's how I see them in my ways, and I always have. But let's go back to Runaway Bay. It got real heavy back there. And I remember one night I couldn't sleep, and so I got up in the morning because I knew something was about to happen. And I saw this pink sky, so pink, and ZOREL, I think it was written, something like that. And it freaked me out so bad, I called 911. I called 911 because I saw that writing in the sky. And anyway, it started from there. But we're on a trip here, y'all, so just bear with me. We're going up in the sky. We've got this window of opportunities that has arisen. But I've been working with Healing of Orion. I know we all have. That's the 11-11. And amazing things happened on the morning of the 7th, which is a completion number, which is rainbows, the 7 colors of the rainbows. God created the world as in the Bible. And the 7th day, it was complete. Let's go there. It was complete. Almost. Now, the 23rd Psalm has walked me through many valleys of shadows. Many valleys. And my Aunt Rusty, a long time ago, wrote me she talked to me on a tape, and she says, I know how much you love the 23rd Psalm. And I wrote some beautiful music, and I would like to put it to lull you to sleep. So I'm going to stop right there and see if I can pull Aunt Rusty's up, because this is amazing. Let's connect the dots with back on, I think it was the 5th or the 4th of April. And I just, for some unknown reason, in the archive, I was listening to it, and I said, whoever this is for, but I know it's for me. And I went through the 23rd Psalm. And then last week I had a beautiful friend of mine, Chip, Steve Horchak. He writes gorgeous music, and he had put the 23rd Psalm together. So let's connect that with last week's broadcast. And this week, I'd like to honor my Aunt Rusty. So let's pull up and see where she goes with that. Then that'll get me more centered to where I can unfold the story a little better. Okay, thank you.
10:49, 44 a.m., May 9, 2011. Just at random, I pulled a tape. Let's see what it is.
I don't know what this is, but it says Aunt Rustin. So let's see where it goes.
We'll see.
I'm unfolding my story,
just
guys.
Just running all I couldn't see.
Okay.
Live from Giants Stadium over 102.7 WNAW FM, Baba O'Reilly.
That sounds so incredible.
I don't know what this is, but Aunt Rusty, it says Rusty.
Where'd that come from?
So let's just bear with it, okay? Everything happens the way it's supposed to.
The who? That was posted by somebody, Moonshadow or something. Dancer, the who, and that Nazi, and then they had that, those people at the very end lined up against the wall. Yeah, this is, well, fast forward, let's see, let the spirit do it. Man, what evidence is it? It says, will you still love me? It's Ronnie. That's the Pink Norman book's writing. Writing's on the wall! Set him free now, damn it. He pays to.
Y'all bear with me because I was opening the storybook, okay? I want y'all to follow along the whole story with me.
Turn it over. Sing it over and over and over again. Keep singing it, Tulsi Moore. We can match up.
Y'all in dress rehearsal. Poppy Whoppy. Okay, so anyway, Aunt Rusty. It said, this is the name of this tape. It says,
now we can see a new world coming into view.
Wow.
A world in which there is a very real prospect of a new world order.
The new world order does not mean surrendering our national sovereignty or forfeiting our interests. How can I convince you when your ears refuse to hear? You turn your heart away from me each time when I draw near. Your eyes refuse to meet with mine, they glance away in fear. As if you should not know that your rejection is the fear. How can I explain to you when you won't understand? You scoff me and you mock me and reject the truth at hand. You spread your vicious rumors all across this troubled land. You will for me and knowing you transgress from his command. Your fight has been made and you can fight before you don't know. Thought machines control the scene so well it doesn't show. How can I contain this anguish and this pain? Knowing that your eyes are blinded by the lies. Have your eyes been blinded by the lies? It's your eyes, I'm blinded by the lies. It's your eyes, I'm blinded by the lies. Every time I think about the damage that's been done, the anger wells inside me till I'm almost overcome. I want to tear the moon out of the sky and drop the sun. Why do I feel so all alone, like I'm the only one? Even though your eyes are open, they may never ever see. Your mind may never comprehend the simple subtlety. Your heart may never hunger for the truth that sets you free. Your soul may know the darkness of divine eternity. Like many thieves who plunder in the shadows of the night, they break inside and enter through the windows of your mind. How can I control this poisoning of the soul? These lies that blind your eyes, blinded by the lies. Have your eyes been blinded by the lies? Have your eyes been blinded by the lies? Yes, your eyes are blinded by the lies. Yes, your eyes are blinded by the lies. Your mind has been made up for you by people you don't know, whose thought machine controls the scene so well it doesn't show. How can I contain this anguish and this pain, knowing that your eyes are blinded by the lies? Have your eyes been blinded by the lies? Have your eyes been blinded by the lies? Yes, your eyes are blinded by the lies. Yes, your eyes are blinded by the lies. Have your eyes been blinded by the lies? Yes, your eyes.
Okay, well, I'm folding a story, okay, so just bear with me, because this is a timeline, and it is Tuesday, May the 10th, 2011. This particular one says the May the 8th. So there's something up with this. I'm going to let it play through a little bit. So bear, open your heart, not your mind, because your mind is where the lies, because it gets logic all messed up. You got to listen with your heart, not your mind. Okay? Okay. Here we go. Reverence. Reverence. Now, I'm to pick up the tape recorder, I'm being told, in my heart. Let's see. I'm to turn the tape. Now, bear with me because I'm a storyteller. I never prepare for these shows, but this has so much been going on the past couple of days. I'm kind of thrown off course, but I'm not. I'm kind of asleep. Wake. So, here we go. I think I found it. The reason for everything.
Hey, Kathy Cook. This is Aunt Rudley. Remember I said I was going to send you a tape, and it had the 23rd Psalm on it, because that's your favorite? Well, I wrote this music in, I believe, 1983 or 84. And I gave the music to a man named Warren Roberts, who was kind of like the George Beverly Shea of Atlanta. He had his own program on TV, Warren Roberts Sings. And I asked him to put some words to it, and he called me back and said, what if I adapt the words to the 23rd Psalm? And I said, sure. So we did that, and we liked it very much. And so then we got this group to record the music, and then we copyrighted the song. So I'm going to just play it over and over and over. And you can just take this tape and put it by your bedside at night and just let it lull you to sleep. Okay, Kathy, here we go.
Here we have. Now I understand why we started with the...
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me come to life. In shady green pastures, He leads me. The bright water is mine.
Why I just know it's right. I don't question where I'm going, what I'm doing, how I'm doing, except for when people start energy popping into me, because I pick up everybody, and I don't read people, I don't think about other people. And when I'm doing my work, I humbly do, you know, with my heart, and send out blessings. Though when I'm focused on, I'm so intensely into healing this world, that's all that my mission is. For the love of what, just everything, because Mother Nature is very important to me. And, you know, when I go to pick off even a branch for a ritual ceremony, for prayer, I humbly ask that plant or that tree or that bush, may I? They will tell me which piece to pick and where. You know, I am very, very reverent with how I treat this land, because this land is my country and it's my liberty. And we've got a new window of opportunities here, everybody. I want you to listen, because my Aunt Rusty, Frieda Lily Rose Ministry, back in the day, she used to take me to Freedom Park. This is the first park that allowed blacks and whites together. You know, I remember that because I'm 55 years old. And she used to put a piece of bacon on a hook She says, you can catch anything you want. And she would tell me the story about Herman. And Herman had, he talked funny. And Aunt Russie, she's just great with stories. And keeping my attention, she'd tell my brothers and sisters and I the story. Especially my older brother, John. God love him. I love that boy. Anyway, so she goes, Herman. People go, in his class, he started in first grade. And he goes, Herman, why do you talk so funny? And she goes, I don't know. And they go to the second grade. And go, people go, Herman, why do you talk so funny? And he goes, well, I don't know. And he'd go to the third grade. Herman, have you ever noticed why how you talk so funny? Why do you talk so funny? But I don't know. He'd go to the fourth grade. Herman, why do you talk so funny? I don't know. I don't know. He went to the fifth grade. Herman, 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 Herman. Why do you talk so funny? I don't know. I don't know. Went to the sixth grade. Herman. Herman. Herman talks funny. Have you ever noticed Herman talks funny? Hey, Herman, why do you talk so funny? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. And so we went to the seventh grade. Herman, why do you talk so funny? I don't know. Went to the 8th grade. Herman, why do you talk so funny? I don't know. Went to the 9th grade. Herman, why do you talk so funny? I don't know. Went to the 10th grade. Herman, why do you talk so funny? I don't know. Went to the 11th grade. Herman, why do you talk so funny? I don't know. Went to the 12th grade. Herman, why do you talk so funny? I don't know. No. I don't know. And then finally, one day, Herman went to college. He went to college, and all the same students, pretty much everywhere, went to the same college. They said, Herman, why are you not talking funny? And he goes, because I blew my nose. Now, let's hold on to that, because I blew my nose. Well, to me, a lot of people know that when I'm working with them, if you feel a negative energy, you pick it like a booger and flick it. You flick it like a booger. That's the negative energy. You circle, flick, circle, flick. So I'm circling, flicking. We're going to get centered here because I did not know this, but I came across this. It's going to blow my mind again. Hermeneutics, I think. Hermeneutics. Went to Hermeneutics, I do believe. And it was something that I have to pull up because I'm still learning it, okay? So, well, just Google search it because Hermeneutics is. I would always write to Aunt Russie back. Well, let me start here. Because when I moved to this house in Raintree, I went through a long path in between. I felt like I was in hell, literally carrying the world in hell. I went to the bottomless pits because of my strength of prayer, hardcore prayer. And every time I would come out of it, I felt like I was being plugged into the matrix in the back of my neck. It was weird, and I'd come out, and I'd learn all this stuff. I mean, I'd really dream this, and I stayed in my bedroom for like a week. My kids would bring me food and stuff. And every time I would hear Aunt Rusty when I'd come out of it, because they'd last 30 minutes, they might last 20 minutes, they might last 10. I never got to choose when I was going in there either. When I come out, I hear her go. I unplugged my phones, my cell phone, everything. Shut my doors off. But let me tell you this, even the godmother of my children, Mady, came. And she was living at the time she had found this place. They were on an island. And she brought me back some call just to listen with. And I don't remember that it was an island over there. Virgin Islands. So, anyway, I think this has something to do with Mother Mary. I don't know. Let's just go with it. I wouldn't even let her. I hadn't seen her in almost 2 years. I wouldn't even let her in the house. I told my kids I said keep her out because I was heavy into this prayer warrior. Sweat, blood, core, and tear. I was working hard. And every time I would go in and out and in and out of one, I heard Aunt Rusty go, way to go, Taffy! Yeah! You know, and it felt like the whole heavens was clapping. So I've been preparing for what I've been doing for a long time. This is no joke. I am, you know, I feel like I'm on stage all the time because that's just the way it goes because I got a stage behind my sofa here. But, you know, and I'll act out things and I'll talk it out. And I didn't used to do that till my hairdresser, Johnny. He said, scream, holler, do whatever you want in your house. It doesn't matter. He said, it just doesn't matter. You can be, and he said, talk to the music, talk to the radio, talk to whatever. Just answer it back in any voice I want because nobody can hear you. It's just you, and it's your house, and this is your domain. So I started doing that a couple of weeks ago. It felt so good. My energy's come back. My legs are better. My blood's pumping good. So I put myself in Mother Earth's place. I said, oh, my God. What has happened here? You know, I don't watch the news. I don't even know what. It took me 6 months to even know there was a Gulf spill. I don't pay attention because all I have to do, I want to focus on what God now has to tell me because I have the Holy Spirit in me. Last week I had the Holy Spirit come into me. That's when I knew something's going on because the Holy Spirit dwells in me at all times. Totally, period. Period, period, period. And last week I said, I'm going to have the Holy Spirit come into me. That is the key that I knew something was up. So I listened to the archive a couple of days later. That was, I don't remember, the 4th or 5th of May. No. Just the last archive before this one. I don't remember the date. I don't do dates and times. I don't even have a clock in this house, except for on the computer or my cell phone, and I keep the cell phone off most of the time. So if I need a clock, because it's irrelevant to what my life and what I'm doing here. And if I choose to have junk everywhere, it's because I'm in the sewage. You know, I'm in the sewage trying to figure out how to get those rats out and clean and purify. Because right now we are in such devastation that we're going to have. I told my mother back in the 80s, I said, Mom, something's going to happen with the water through the pipes. And she goes, what do you mean, Tassie? And I said, because we're going to have poison water and we're going to have to drink our sewage. And sure enough, what's happening today, we're going to have to purify our sewage water to drink it. Yes, I saw that when I went out to eat with my mom a couple of weeks ago at Americana. And I just happened to glance down at the paper that, you know, while I was smoking a cigarette. And I didn't buy it. I didn't pull it out. Because I don't want to read other people's stuff. I want it to get all mixed up in my storyline. Because I'm an artist. I draw things out. Or, you know, I don't know what they are. Put them up. I don't look at them, I put them up. I just know that I have a story to tell when it's time for it to unveil. But y'all are a witness to a lot of the dress rehearsal, per se. This, you know, not a dress rehearsal, but I'm in charge of my own script that I write in my life. It's up to me. It's mine. I can choose the director, which is me. I can choose the people in the play, which are my pieces of artwork. And Mother Nature, or maybe somebody that comes in and tells me something, like a God, you know, if I feel like I can hear somebody or something, it coincides, I don't hear it in my head, I hear it in my heart, because I don't have voices at all. But anyway, my stories unfold the way they need to, because I go back to the old Native Americans ways, you know, the storyteller. You know, I have a great friend named John DeBoer, he's a storyteller's flute, and I made him a beautiful story to go with his flute, because he basically opened up this gateway for me with his Loons in the Moonlight. And I listened to that and meditated. And I meditated. I work hard with John DeBoer's music because he's like a part of my meditation that helped me see, because he's so centered with his music. And I honor him in such reverence. And his wife, beautiful wife, Deborah, she made me some pouches with some stones from different places and placed them in there. And Medicine Walker, my sweet dear friend, that little daggum nag, but she helped me a lot with this healing of Orion ceremony. But we had to pull away. You know, sometimes I can be so boldly, bluntly honest, just like a slap, like a mother, because I have to get on my path. And I tell Walker, I say, I'm drawing my circle. Don't call, I'm drawing my circle because that's my space. Not like a cast or anything, because I don't do any of that stuff, but a cast into healing, but I don't do any of that wiki thing. So, you know, it just got to where we were so intertwined with each other, Medicine Walker and I, you know, and doing our ceremonies and stuff, I needed to find mine. Ronnie Frogger that wrote that music, when I first met him, I said, does this feel normal? He says, it's written in the Pink Normal book. It was normal to have those feelings of the depths of love and compassion. He kind of opened me up. But then at the end, after those double rainbows, I knew something was going on. He saw a puppy in a bubblegum machine and something like a woman from New York. And then puppy didn't really recognize him when he said he went away for a long time. Anyway, it's crazy. I won't even go there because that's just another story. So turn the page. Okay, so if you look at it, hermeneutics. I've been writing to Aunt Rusty. I don't know how long. But I would get these foreign words. I get these prayers. And they come to me. And I would send Aunt Rusty these emails. And I call her. And we called each other Herman. And now, if I Google, I don't know how to spell it, so I can't really help it. I know it's going to be called Kath, C-A-T-H for Kath. Hen, because I'm a mother hen. Kathin, I think. Hermeneutics method. So then I'm still learning this because I do not study much of anything. Hermeneutics, Stanford Encyclopedia of Philosophy. Let's see what that is. But I just came across this word hermeneutics. Okay. And it's the Stanford Encyclopedia of Philosophy. Now it goes on. It starts telling a lot of the thing, but it's a Catholic, it has to do with Catholic as well, but it's Kath Hen. And, you know, last week I bucked like a chicken and said, you know, this yoke, this Baltine, that we are trying to heal it. You know, the seven swans are trying to come down and, you know, cloak and, you know, shape shift to help us heal. Now, Baltine, you know, I don't know, it's a May Day thing, and it's, has to do with the yoke, okay? So the yoke equals, it's a cosmic light, which is equal to the yoke. And that triggered a thought, because I was bucking like a chicken last week. That's the hen. I've always wondered it. Now the chicken can cross the road. But we're like an embryo before we come down here. You know, before we even come down here, our DNA and everything. And then this Mother Earth, she holds us in her womb. And she hatches us so until we're ready to bust open and be on our own. And it's a shame so many people try to get out of that egg before it's time, you know, and try to justify, figure out, and judge. Judge ye not, lest ye be judged. Turn that other cheek. Because what do I always say? Don't open the dark room door before God's finished developing the picture, or your perspective will be underexposed. Your picture will be underexposed. So, you know, I might bounce around here and there, and I might go up there and around, but when people start pulling in on me and zooming in on me and thinking in on me and trying to analyze me and my work and what she's doing or, you know, whatever, it doesn't matter. I start picking and pulling because I feel that everybody's boundaries are very sacred. They're sacred. It's like orange. And so if Lucy in the Sky starts zooming in on me, thinking, why is she doing that? What's she doing? You know, trying to see a motive or something. Oh, my gosh. Why is anybody focusing in on me anyway, unless they're trying to understand my work, which hasn't even been prevailed out there, except for a couple of poems, you know, things that I write that are still out there. But my story has not unfolded yet because I'm still learning it, and I've got to learn it because it's my stage. It's my play, my story. I get to choose who I want in the play, and it's a production, and we all know how the Norvins are with productions. So let's just ease our minds out and realize that I don't have any motives except for to heal on this earth, and I have nothing to hide except for healing this earth. I do not judge anybody. I maybe speak things out, whatever, but it always connects to something. And some teachers of mine out there in the spiritual world that could be human, they could slap me down hard, almost like, if you don't straighten up, I'm going to kick your butt. You're going to die. You know, this is a death, life-death situation. But I need that from a certain person. You know, butterflies are different the way they talk to me than, say, you know, anybody else. You know, everybody has a way that I can, if the butterfly talks to me a certain way, then I know to snap to and put that bit on and ride smooth. But if, let's say if a Jedi Pete talked to me that way, I'd rebel so fast, because it would be, if it would feel shady, or it would feel something weird. So everybody's got to realize that there's a certain few that know me well enough to know me humbly well enough to know I need help to get this story out there. But I want to mark it in history that on 5/5, May the 5th, 2011, the night before, I realized that that was a birthday mark for me, because it 5/5 is a 55, and I am 55 years old. In 2011, I'm born on February the 11th. So that was a birthday mark for me, and ironic, you know, Mother Earth, Mother Nature gets, Rain Tree gets Yard of the Year. I mean, it's just amazing. So I've been doing a lot of rituals and ceremonies and using different things. My grandfather asked my grandmother, Virginia, which under the pink dogwood tree. So I'm starting to build my yard a certain way, and it's coming together okay. And I started with that, and then at the Weeping Willow's Moon, I put out in the backyard right straight ahead. Everything's got an angle, you know, kind of like an angle, like you're building like a masonry, like, you know, building a house. So you have to have things angled a certain way to understand. I have to, because I'm scattered. Y'all know I'm scattered. And if I don't have it laid out like an architect, like Uncle Ted Duke, the Duke was, Carmen's daddy and Jin Jin's daddy and Carter's daddy and Aunt Brenda's husband, if we don't have that built properly, then it all falls apart. So in my life, on my grounds, and in my house, I've been in the sewage. I'm still in it, because it has to stay that way until the whole story's complete. Then I clean up, and then I move things around. So people come in my house. Like the other day when the guy, Mr. Fox, came to put the pole up for, Rain Tree to be, and Timber Ridge to be honored as a Yard of the Month. I wouldn't let him in the house, because I wouldn't let my mother in, except for she came in just to put my mail up. But it's reverent. You know, this is a reverent house. And it's what I have to do. I haven't even unpacked anything since I moved back in here from the mold, because it would clutter up what I'm here to do. So behind me, I lay out a storyline. Now let me give you the storyline thus far, because I have not done anything today but been reverent and gone down all my memories. And this morning I went down Country Lane in Charlotte School, and, you know, just rode all around, went to the cemetery for all things. That's a story in itself too, but washed my hands, got some ferns, I got some gifts, and then I found a bridge across the street from right before you get to my house that I grew up on. It's an old white church, and I heard Marsha Gibson come into my heart, and I used to ride Fair Lady to her house. So I turned, and I just pulled in this parking lot. Didn't know why, don't ask. But I put some stuff out in front of the tree that I was parked at, because I was thanking it. You know, I thank everything, because it's a symbol to me. And then I got out, and then I walked down, just like it said, go around the circle and go that way. And then I saw a tree with all these honeysuckle and everything. And I had a Coke bottle in my hand. I don't know why I threw the Coke at the tree. And then I walked, I picked up two stones, like, and, you know, everything's got a symbolic meaning. So I walked down, and all of a sudden, you couldn't see it where I was parked, and it was it was a little narrow path. It was very narrow. It was beautiful. And what happened? There was a bridge built over the most beautiful brook. And I kept hearing the red fern. So back where I had thrown the Coke bottle, the gift that I got there, because I always get a gift when I get a clue or get something that's meant for me, that earth gives me a clue or a cue or, you know, gift. And this was a red piece of fern. So it was where the red fern rose. And it was in a bottle of Coke, you know, thrown at the tree. So I don't know what that had, you know, it just felt like it was very important to somebody. So I walked and I had that fern in my hand. I was just in awe. I was shocked. There was ferns everywhere. It looked like a mystery. And when I got to the other side, I reverently watched my feet. And it wasn't very long, but I reverently watched my feet and over to the side. It was in honor of like somebody that had died, but it was a herbal garden, and then over here was some kind of greenhouse, but it wasn't much in it. But in front of me was the pastures open wide. I kid you not, it was like coming out of the forest, really. And when Ronnie and I went our own ways, he said, "You've always been somebody's mother. You've always been somebody's daughter. You've always been somebody's sister. You've always been somebody's aunt, niece. You've always been somebody's granddaughter. And you've always been somebody's daughter and somebody's wife." He said, "Kath," he said, "before you can go any further in life, and me too, I believe we're going into the forest. But every night we held hands to go to sleep. It was the hardest thing I think I've ever, it took me up until a couple of years ago to get even through it and over it. All I could do was write about it and talk, you know, feel it, because it was such a tremendous breaking half of our hearts, my heart at least. And it was just amazing. I went literally, as you can look on the internet, I wrote all about going into the forest, and I called it the million mile journey, because when we go into the forest, we go in with our egos. When our egos are born, our it, you know, our singularity is beautiful with the dolphins, you know, and the dolphins, you know, just anyway, the ego is born. We go into that forest when we're first understand the comprehension of no and being controlled. So I was in that forest, and do you know, lo and behold, I started finding his music. I started finding an earring, an Egyptian earring, and I started finding things, you know, that put things together that's been going on in this world. It's a storyboard to unfold. And his bird, Buddha, Buddha, Buddha. Wah! Buddha! Wah! You know, it's just so amazing. And I sit like a Buddha all the time now, and I got this big old belly that I earned. I earned every piece of my skin, because I swear, I've been in a war. I feel like Athena. I feel like I'm honored and proud to have this body. And I will look like hell, and I will look like a wild woman sometimes in my house. It doesn't matter, because I'm on a warrior path, and I'm a prayer warrior, and I am here to help heal this world. That's all there is to it. I'm pretty much a monk. Everybody is in their own space. I rarely go out, except for in my own home. I hardly ever sometimes get food, because I simply just do not. I go into these fastings very calmly, but I do, you know, it's my choice. I have the choice, and I have to learn that it just doesn't matter what other people think of me. It's just none of my business, which Cherry Lynn Whitaker taught me that in school. So we're about to run out of time. We got 10 minutes left, so I got to finish this Orion story. So it was 3 days, which usually takes me 3 days to go through something. And I looked up at the sky. And, you know, I wrote that story about the land of forget-me-nots, the land of living. I realized we've been wishing all our wishes on Twinkle, you know. But in my storybook, we wish, you know, the land of forget-me-nots carries the wishes of Twinkle. But Twinkle, you know, I'm not going to start that story. Just want you to know that when Orion was the great hunter and hunted all those rabbits, and Harvey had a wonderful Christmas, a wonderful life, he's not the same giant rabbit for Orion, because he didn't harm anybody. And the Living Waters is different from the Harvey and the Diamonds in the Sky that wanted an apple. Because the Apple computer is mine. You know, that's all those things connect. So I had to look at the difference in the black and white. Because we're on a fine tightrope line. We have to walk that fine and narrow line. And I had to reverently, just humbly get back in my line. Because if you step on the sides, it opens windows, you know. And that's how. Well, it's like the darkness will cunningly, lovingly, caringly, blah, 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 you know, just get you oozy up in there. And then all of a sudden you're snared. You are snared. So if you go back to Freedom Park, when Aunt Rusty taught me about the hook, baits on the hook, why kill two birds with one stone? Why don't you just take that stone instead of killing the two birds? Why don't you turn it into bread, you know, so you can feed the land? So then you go to the Freedom Park and you bait that hook. Anything that you have on your mind, your passion at that particular moment, because passion is whatever you're doing at that particular moment, if a heat or a love, because the depth of a love is the depth of the anger or heat, like a mother is going to slap you. But why not use the little fish and the little hook to catch the great big whale? Okay, what is the whale? Who got swallowed up in the whale but Jonah? Okay, then what happens? The YouTube, then the Joshua tree, Joshua. Okay, Joshua got swallowed up in the whale. So why not? Because he didn't listen to God. He didn't listen to God. What happened? He got spit out, finally on an island, like paradise, like an island. And there was one tree there. He still didn't listen to God. God said, go tell my nation about me. And he went out and he didn't go. He didn't tell. So what happened? He got swallowed up by the whale again. And it was a long time. Like, go into the Bible and read about Joshua. And when he got thrown out at the Joshua tree was in the desert. There was nothing to drink. There was not. He was spit out finally, and it was the only shade he had. His lips were blister burned, and he was parched. But God said, "Now you go tell my land, my people, about me." And he sure enough did, and it set his people free. It set God's people free. We're on the road to freedom, everybody. We're on the road to exposing anything that's dark or out of the ordinary that makes you feel weird or makes you feel controlled. Flick it like a booger. Put it back in its place. Because this shifting and this changing of the Earth's atmosphere and thinking they're so powerful, almighty, that, why not shift that down into the healing of this land, healing of people, because that's what it's all about. It's not about the dark. There is no dark unless we make it dark. So we're going to come up and realize that the apple, we're starting all over at the knowledge tree. My dad, when he had cancer, he had his lower rib removed so that they could get up in there. And that was the most painful thing of anything. I think of my dad and that rib, and I think of that knowledge tree, and I think of him marrying me to Jesus before, you know, February 23rd. I think of all that stuff put together, even though everybody's relationship with Jesus or, you know, the Holy Spirit, whatever, the knowing, whatever, is your own personal relationship. It's, you can be married to him. You can be married. Anybody. Okay? It's up to you to stay reverent and humble into what the message is of the knowing that comes down. Because I feel like I've got a crown on and that I'm humble. I'm crowned Queen City Charlotte. And it's amazing. And I got married on the 21st of June, which is summer solstice. And this Valentine is, you know, spring, which is harvest. You know, go and build your crops so you can harvest them and eat plenty, prosper plenty. The grapevine, the vineyard. God is the vine and the food, the fruit. How are we going to eat our fruit? Go and labor our fruit. You know, his fruit is important. So that tree is my knowledge tree. And I did a whole ritual with the apple and stuff. Well, Puppy, the other day, she could not get up. After I lit a candle and set it out there because it smelled a good candle, but it was a seed. And I took vitamin E and I took fish oil and I walked it around the Weeping Willow's moon. And it just happened to be at the Wea tree right in front of me because it's a split tree. And I think of the M as downward for me, you know, forked down into the ground. But if we turn it upward, it's a we for God and me. It makes a Wea tree. So that's my focus for the Wea tree, double split at the bottom. Now, I took an apple that Johnny the Appleseed, my hairdresser, Johnny, I call him my son, you know, because he helps me understand things a lot of times, you know, just because I don't trust too many people to speak it out there because they want to take it as their own, because that's why they see if I'm plagiarism or whatever, I guess, because then they see it's pure and they can go sell my work to anybody they want. And then they put these little numbers and crap all over them, and, you know, on the internet. But little do they know that I've got it on hard, you know, written out in paper first. So I think that my books and the story is going to unfold with my own original papers. And they're so authentic that Ashley's dog, Bubby TTPP, peed on them. There's your pee. And then where Aunt Rusty, I'm unfolding something, the peacock, when Mama wanted to see Daddy for the first time. In her dream, she dreamed of the peacock. And then sure enough, the peacock came to her house. Well, what did peacock represent? Was raising ashes, you know, raising up the ashes from, you know. So then the thing that I focused on in my room was a peacock, and it had a gate there, and it had mountains behind it. That's what I always focused on. I was going to open the east gate. I'm going to open that east gate. And lo and behold, I found all that this the other day. And I use a peacock in my that holds my sage. It's like a base that my mother gave me. Well, right before, a long time ago, Mama dreamed that she gave Rusty, Aunt Rusty, this Aunt Frieda Lily Rose, a key to a gate. And she said it was just, we never figured out what that was. But then she said a couple of years ago, she goes, Kathy, she says, I took that key back from Rusty and gave it to you. She had to unlock it, and then she gave you the other part of it, and it hooked together, and it unlocked. Well, Granddaddy called me Cash E Y Key. Okay, so I took that key in my grandmother clock that sits behind me that I don't usually keep running, and I wound that key, and, you know, I work it. Well, I think I've unlocked the key. Well, I don't think it, I know it. But we'll stop right there. The key we're going to start with next week, and we're going to be all focused because I'm not going to have all that zooming in on me, wondering what she's going to say. We're going to stop right here. We're going to bring up the next show, and this is Kathy Cook, Bright Lights Pathfinders. We are healing Orion this week. Watch the date, May 23rd, 2011. This is Kathy Cook, Bright Lights Pathfinders, bridging wisdom, one wisdom spoke at a time, bringing life one octave higher, one broadcast at a time. Take care, everybody. God bless. Bye-bye.